Welcome to the podcast. As a listener, you're invited to claim your comp pass for our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. By attending, you'll join our engaged community of founders and executives from over 200,000 leading B2B global organizations. AI won't take your place, but a competitor leveraging it to drive results will. Learn the latest in AI first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to secure your pass. I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Consulting Spotlight. My name is Michael Bernzweig. I'm your host and also the founder of Software Oasis. This week, we're actually fortunate to be joined live by the CEO and founder of Comrade Digital Marketing, Ivan Vislavsky. And with that, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Michael. It's definitely very excited to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm very glad that I know we had connected prior to the episode, and I'm glad we were able to get everything on the the schedule, because as I can see from a lot of the interest that's come in from the audience, a lot of questions and things like that. So I'll try to be sure we sneak some of those in, but could start by giving our audience, for anyone that may not be familiar with either yourself or with Comrade Digital, a little bit of your backstory, how you got to where you are, and a little bit of what's going on over there.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I'll start with who we are. At Comrade Digital Marketing Agency, we help local service businesses grow by using inbound marketing strategies. So we're true experts in what is called search engine marketing. Imagine that when someone needs help, they're looking for a service or a product. What they in most cases do is they go to Google, and nowadays with addition of AI, they can go to Perplexity or ChatGPT or DeepSeek or any of those places, and they look for the information that they're trying to find that will help them solve their issue. In most cases, it will lead them to specialists that can help them solve the issue. And so our job is to get the specialist in front of their eyes whenever someone is looking for it. How do we do this? It's, you know, digital marketing consists of a number of pillars. SEO, search engine optimization is one of them. Paid search or paid advertising. Content marketing, email marketing, social media marketing. Those are the main vehicles to drive leads and customers to our clients. Now, on the story side of things, how I, how this agency started. The original inception date was 2008, the best time to begin a business, obviously. but it was sort of a complete coincidence. I was working in a technical space. I worked for a few marketing agencies. And I always knew that eventually I will have my own business. Reason being is I realized that I wanted to build something of my own, something that will reflect my vision, my values, and my approach to business. Because I did want that freedom to create my own processes or work with the people, hire the right people that I, you know, truly trust. Develop my own products and so on. So in 2008, a few friends from my network reached out and asked for help with a few digital projects, which I did help them out. And I tried to do it with utmost care, provided amazing results for them. And sort of the word grew, and more people started calling me, started asking for various projects. And 3 years into it, we already had three or four full-time employees working at this sort of like a hobby. And it was time to fully focus on that business, because it started to look like a business. So fast, you know, since 2008, we're currently approaching 100 employees. We have locations in Chicago, Miami, and Los Angeles, and a small satellite office in Austin with one employee. we have big ambitions, and I feel like we're just getting started.
Really neat. And out of curiosity, the name, where did the name come from?
Sure. So I'm Russian. I came from Russia when I was 19. It's one of those true American dream stories where I, you know, since my early age, I was sort of inspired by, you know, a lot of the American movies, Home Alone right. specifically, or many others. And from early age, I did want to end up here because I understood that there's a possibility to build a, you know, a proper scalable business. So at the age of 19, I had an opportunity to migrate, which I did. And when I started the business, the name of the company, the official name of the company, was not exciting at all. It was called CF Style. Don't even ask me what it stands for, because I don't even remember. It was like such a not memorable, such a not exciting name at all. Right. And we had one of the guys at the company. He was like, "Dude, we got to do something that will stand out. Just imagine right. that, you know, someone is choosing a marketing agency and have four proposals sitting in their desk. Guess who they're going to choose? Definitely not CF Style. That's not right. that's not going anywhere." So we did the brainstorming session, and he was like, "Well, we got to go with something that, you know, truly resonates with your culture, with your background, and so on. How about Camera?" Like, well, I don't know. It's kind of like sounds military to me. But then as we went fantastic. Looking into the actual meaning of the word, it was a fantastic word. It truly means that you caring, you helping your right. friend to you carrying them forward. And we're like, wow, that actually does resonate with us. So we sort of decided, sure, let's just go with it. And that's how that's the story of it.
That makes a ton of sense. And you know, the funny thing, going back to what you said earlier about the only good thing in hindsight that came out of 2008 when you started was, if you had the foresight to have acquired a bunch of stock at that time, you would have retired many times over by now.
Oh, exactly. I know what you mean. Luckily enough, I actually did get some stocks right around there. It was one of my managers that sort of told me that, you know, now is not a good time. You probably don't believe in economy, but trust me, it's going to rebound. So I did invest whatever money I could into Apple stock, which was a very fortunate move for me.
Perfect. Yeah, if you had to pick one, that's the one.
Yeah, definitely quadruple the investment.
You know, for a lot of listeners, you know, they're probably sitting there and, you know, probably saying to themselves, well, you know, I have a whole marketing team here and we're doing all kinds of things. And, you know, what is it that, you know, if you were to bullet point a few of the things that kind of set Comrade Digital apart, and, you know, some of the things that you're doing that an organization may find value in, you know, finding a partner that, you know, is a subject matter expert like yourselves to handle that they may not be achieving within their organization. What are some of those finer points that, you know, being a specialist in this specific area, you would offer to an organization?
Yeah. And by the way, I forgot to mention, but we've been a generalist agency since the inception of our agency. But about 5 years ago, we decided to fully niche down. So we chose two primary niches at the beginning, which were legal and home services, because we had the major concentration of our clients from those industries. Okay. And now we're also doubling with healthcare space. So we're true right now. If you asked us, what do you specialize in? We're truly specialists in helping those three industries grow. Okay. Now what differentiates us from other agencies? You know, I can say things like transparency and so on, but everyone will say that. It's truly our pride in our ROI-driven approach. when we work with our clients, our primary focus is to deliver measurable results in the form of qualified leads and new customers. A lot of the agencies that a lot of our competition, what they'll deliver, what they'll show you in reports are vanity metrics, like clicks or like traffic or like positions. But that doesn't translate into leads. That doesn't translate into clients. That right. doesn't help you understand if your marketing truly pays for itself, if your marketing is truly you know, provides positive ROI or not. And our experience shows that most of our clients see an average return on investment of 400% to 600%. So meaning that they'll generate $4 to $6 on every dollar that they'll invest in our services.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which is really easy for them to understand, right? Like yeah. It's not when they hire us, the first thing is like, how can you help us grow? Well, let's see where you are. Let's see who you're going after. Let's make sure there's enough demand for your search in your geographical area. And then we'll devise a plan. And by the way, we will, from the beginning of our relationship, we will vet them out in the way where we'll tell them if we're a good fit for them or not. We'll not be, you know, sorry to say, look, would we want more money? Of course. But we don't think we're going to help you grow for so-and-so reason. But here's some of our partners that may be a better fit for you. This is for the reason that we only want a truly satisfied clients. Client tenure, client retention in our business in specifically is very, very high. We retain 96% of our clients. So that's very, very important for
us. So with an ROI like that, you're obviously doing a lot more than just running campaigns and optimizing things. You're getting involved and digging into landing pages and conversions and funnels and all of that for your clients.
Yeah, we're turnkey solution. So many companies hire us and we become truly their marketing extension, their marketing arm. We function as a, in some cases, we function as a fractional CMO. In some cases, we'll work under their marketing manager or marketing executive, and we do all the work, execution strategy, and so on. So it truly depends on the company that we work with.
Got it. Okay. It makes a lot of sense. Now, if you can talk a little bit more about, you mentioned the two subspecialties. Can you talk a little bit more about is there overlap between the two, or are they just completely separate, but you've specialized in these two areas of
So the reason why we chose legal and home services / construction services, because they're both local service companies. So they have a place, they have a location, they have an actual office, and they provide services mostly to local audience. With that said, we're true specialists when it comes to local advertising and local promotion, because we know that space really, really well. If someone comes to us and say, look, we need a nationwide promotion, they're probably not going to be a great fit for what we do, because our services are laser focused on local, on like citywide or, you know, countywide or statewide promotion.
Sure. And
but other than that,
there's a lot of very unique characteristics. So I think that's probably the one element that you could probably tie a bow around and say both organizations are focused on local search.
Yeah. And the recipe is pretty much the same, but you're right. There's a lot of difference between the two sectors, between the owners of the businesses, right? The way how they intend to grow their businesses, their emotional intelligence, their business acumen, huge difference, obviously. But from our end, to provide the services, the recipe is very much the same.
So if you were to, we always like to try to find some actionable insights that we can provide to listeners that'll help them from where they are today. Are there some, you know, if you were to bullet point a few details that you found work across search at the local level to really drive results and conversions? Are there some details that you found are very effective?
Details I found very effective. Well, I can tell you that what a lot of the businesses don't do properly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think number one, not having proper marketing budget and long-term vision and plan in place. Many companies sort of just have a small budget to test it out and hope that it will, you know, either work or not. And with digital specifically, sometimes it requires more time. It requires more resources to get it going. For instance, with sure. the help of SEO, there's no quick wins. There are some, but if you truly want a proper ROI, a good ROI, then you need to invest for a year, maybe two. You see that result.
It's very hard for a lot of organizations, you know, if they're looking for that quick win. Obviously, that quick win is going to be on paid search. But, you know, you really have to have enough data to have some statistically relevant results to be able to take action on. And you have to ramp up slowly on a lot of these campaigns.
Exactly. And just to piggyback on what you just said, not tracking or understanding marketing data is another issue that we see a lot of the companies are struggling with. So the marketing manager or the CMO, whoever is responsible on their end, or it might be a business owner, right? They don't dig enough to understand what is truly happening with my marketing. I mean, they see the reports from the agency or from freelancers that are working for them. But they don't understand how it translates into actual business. And we definitely encourage, when we come to our clients and we show them our reporting, where we start with the most important, most impactful things, like what is the cost of each lead? How many leads am I getting from each of the channel? Does it make sense to invest more in advertising or, you know, email marketing or SEO, any of the channels? And then how many leads does it actually take to generate one client? In most cases, they don't have that visibility. So they're almost flying blindly without really knowing where to invest and what works or what doesn't. So that's mind boggling.
That makes a ton of sense. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, being consistent and sticking with, with a campaign or a strategy is obviously the most important element to any of these. So, and I guess that would be another great question. So if you were to bullet point, other common mistakes that you see clients suffering through from whence they came. So I'm sure a lot of times, you know, a client comes to you for a specific reason. They're probably either, you know, managing campaigns internally and having challenges, or, you know, from wherever they're at this point, things mm-hmm. are not going well. So are there a couple of real scenarios that you see day in and day out that are common, like when new clients come to you?
Yeah, definitely. One of those scenarios that we see quite often is when their budget spread too thin between too many channels, too many marketing channels. They're trying to do everything at once. Okay. They're trying to split the budget, let's say, six ways, when there's only, you know, enough budget to cover, let's say, one or two channels. And our advice to them is, look, let's master this one or two things. Let's get really, really good at it. Let's make sure we're getting good ROI from it. And then you'll probably have enough budget to invest in other areas as well, as opposed to trying everything at once. And it's quite amazing when we have an RFP come into us and we're like, well, our budget is $25,000 per month, but we're in New York and Manhattan in highly competitive space, and we want to do SEO, we want to do paid search, we want to do social media, It also needs to include ad spend budget and so on and so on. It's like, well, do you want results or do you just want to spend this budget and not get anything back for it? Right. So that's one. Also, it's interesting that companies sometimes hire resources, freelancers or agencies without proper vetting. Sometimes it's just amazing that you deal with, let's say, you know, they'll come to you specifically for the advertising, but, you know, they tell you, or our SEO is taken care of. Don't worry about it. And once you start digging, you realize that whoever's in charge of SEO, they have no clue what they're doing.
Right.
It's like, how did you even bring them in the first place? What, did you ask them any questions or not? So doing the proper vetting is so important. Yeah. So we always encourage our clients, reevaluate the relationship, reevaluate, you know, what sort of results they bring to you. Because the agency or freelancer's job, their goal is to grow your business. And if you don't see a direct correlation, then put them out. You know, look for someone else. Also, not sticking with industry leaders would be another key mistake that we see. For instance, we're leaders or we're experts in legal home services, and we know this industry really, really, really well. If someone would come to us and say, look, can you advertise our retail store? We'd be like, nope. I mean, we can take you, but we're not going to get any results because we have no clue how to advertise you. We'll need to learn on your dime. And I always encourage, if someone is coming to us from retail space, for instance, I tell them, look, check Google, you know, or ask ChatGPT, who is best in retail marketing? Go talk to them. Go consult with them. They have all the know-hows. They know how to promote your business specifically.
And the interesting thing, and I think you probably realize this, but I think a lot of organizations are learning bit by bit, you know, at the end of the day, you know, by being an expert in a specific area, you start to learn all the nuances. So you're not learning on someone else's dime, you know, what you can and can't do, what the requirements are from the different platforms and all of that, and, you know, seeing ads and campaigns rejected and all of that. So you've been there and done that, and you're going to help a lot of these organizations avoid those pitfalls.
Exactly. Michael, there are two more, and I'll finish this.
Sure.
Next one is a proper intake. So I've learned a long time ago from a mentor, the great marketing equals nothing if your intake is not at the same sufficient level. What is intake in a lot of places is when you get the lead, how do you communicate? How do you engage with this lead? And believe it or not, many companies that we work with, we actually do secret shopping just to analyze how well their sales team is responding to the lead. And in many cases, they don't do a great job. You will lead to a voicemail, or they'll respond only the next day, or they'll send an email in 2 days and forget about it. They'll not follow up, things like that. So at the end of the day, you can hire a great marketing agency that would be super costly, super expensive. But if you're not staying on top of your leads, guess what? You're not going to go anywhere. Your business is not going to grow. So definitely make sure that you have that buttoned up before you invest heavily into marketing.
And what are realistic expectations for your agency partner in terms of for a client? What are some of the measurable expectations that are reasonable?
In terms of intake specifically?
No, more in terms of account management.
All of that. So we tell our clients that at the beginning, we definitely do envision that it will be at least a weekly conversation going, because where we'll need to engage with the point of contact at least once a week, and sometimes even more to cover the most important aspects so we can understand the company as much as we can. We want to fully focus, we want to fully understand what the company does, who their buyer personas are, what their challenges are, how are they better than their competitors, and so on. So I would say the first month or two, there's a lot of hand-holding, there's a lot of engagement going on. But once we get all this juice, once we understand all that, it's truly like once every other week or once a month, depending on how, you know, where it goes and how it goes. It's a lot easier.
And there's obviously a lot of learning that needs to happen at the beginning of any relationship. And I think that's obviously a big part of Intech.
Yeah. And not only on our end, on their end too, they need to understand our service. We actually provide them with a lot of the educational components so that they understand what is that we do and how we doing this. And so they can relate to our strategy and the plan, because if they don't, then, you know, it's going to be a lot harder for us to explain why do we see this result versus this result and so on. So there's an educational component on both ends.
So if you can kind of walk our listeners through what are the components of that onboarding and traditional, period where you're learning and doing that intake of a new account.
Sure, I can speak of our process, and
exactly.
Other agencies will probably have their own process. But usually, what we do is we have a very thorough discovery process. We prepare for kickoff from our end. We collect all kinds of questions. We analyze their competition. There's a questionnaire that the client has to fill out in order to give us as much information as possible so we can prepare. So we analyze the competition. We analyze their weaknesses. We're doing their SWOT analysis in part. We'll look at things like what have they done on the marketing side of things previously. What worked, what didn't work. If they know their stats, what those stats are, and so on. So we'll prepare discovery. We'll head to kickoff meeting, and we'll share all of our findings. And our clients will provide feedback. Sometimes they'll add additional details to it. Maybe, you know, we haven't seen the entire picture, so they'll add that component as well. And then we'll discuss the future. What the future looks like for our company. Are they looking to expand geographically, or are they looking to add any additional service lines and so on, so we can be also mindful, aware of that? And what are they looking to, how are they looking to grow, or by what percentage are they looking to grow, rather, in the next 12, 24, 36 months? We want some targets so that we can understand how aggressive our marketing package should be. And so we build the package that's correlated with their growth pattern. And we give them usually a couple options. We give them normal speed or the most aggressive speed so they can choose and they can control how, you know, how quickly do they want to arrive to a certain, to this point. And that's pretty much it. Once we get all the information from them, We also do various interviews of their key employees, key stakeholders in the company,
sure,
to understand how they, you know, do the production, operations, sales, and so on. Once we collect all that information, we're ready to go, and you know, we build the campaigns and run them.
Now, when you're getting up and running with a new client, obviously they've, unless it's obviously a brand new practice, they've had some other experiences. So is it very important, obviously you have many different tools in your toolbox, is it important to explore what they've done before that's worked and not worked, and to
100%
feedback and the onboarding?
Absolutely. Let's say paid search worked for them pretty well in the past, that would be initial place to start with, because there might be some low hanging fruit. We can double down on that to ensure that it delivers more results, you know, almost instantaneously. We also asked them.
Yeah.
We also try to understand. Yeah, if they tried to do something and it didn't work, why? Like we're trying to drill down. Sometimes they'll tell us, well, we paid for the SEO campaign, but it didn't really work. But, well, how many months or years did you run the SEO campaign for? 3 months. Well, yeah, there's a reason why it didn't work. You need to invest, you know, for long duration time, per se.
And do you find a lot of times clients come to you with campaigns and things that they've run and done, but were never properly analyzed, and there's lots of data and statistics that just has to be gone through?
All the time. They actually, you know, in many cases, they require us to run audits on what they've done in the past or what they've done internally to analyze if they've done it properly or not. And sometimes it'll, you know, turn into, you know, something that we can turn around pretty, you know, pretty quickly with just a few additions, a few setting changes, or sometimes it's just so far off from, you know, what will work that we'll have to start from scratch.
Makes a lot of sense. Now, as far as, you know, when you're getting up and running with new clients, what are the different tools in your toolbox in terms of generating some of the results that they're looking for? What are the different platforms and different kinds of, you know, areas that you're helping them focus on to generate the results they're looking for?
So besides, there's an SEO aspect, right? Like that's one of the tools that we have, and you can split it between, you know, in two sort of separate tools. One is local SEO, which is very, very important. Google My Business and Google Maps. So you've probably seen that when you search for a local provider, you'll usually see like the first screen right under paid search results. That has various like local results, so that generates really good ROI, and that's usually what we, you know, what we start with when we begin working with our clients. Then there's a sort of the rest of organic results that takes a lot longer to generate results for. On the paid search side of things, it's, you know, depending on the industry, there are local service ads that are very, very quick to set up, and that generates results. But mostly we see that it doesn't really generate high enough quality leads. So we usually set up paid search on Google. Now Bing started to work as well. And then social media channels, depending on the industry. So for legal, for instance, social does not work as well as for home services. For home services, Facebook works really well. In some instances, Instagram works, and so on. And then there are also all kinds of different directories, like best law firms or best roofing companies and so on, you know, by sponsoring those, by figuring out what to sponsor, what to advertise, you know, we can also generate some leads from there. So it's always, you know, a combination of different tools, depending on the budget, depending on the goals, depending on the size of the company.
Now, where do you find most organizations are at in terms of their, you know, the final site or landing pages or what have you, in terms of how sophisticated they are and how much work needs to be done on that end of things?
probably 70% of clients that come to us require a complete rebuild. So they're not, their websites or the landing pages are not sufficient. They're not built for conversion. They don't have the proper funnel, sales funnel set up. So we have to rebuild everything from scratch. And then there are 30% that already have, you know, decent work done, maybe by another agency, or they may even have their own say in how the website was built. And it looks really good, and it's built with the proper funnels and so on. And all we have to do is sometimes just polish it. But mostly it's, are not good.
Makes sense. And are there some things that you're seeing, you know, obviously you sit in a really unique space within the industry, and you've been doing this for quite a while. So
yeah,
you definitely have seen the journey from the old days when there was a lot you could do to get to the top of the rankings in SEO.
And today,
you know, a lot of organizations are finding it's not the same space, and everyone's trying to scream louder than everyone else. And are there things that you see coming down the pike that are particularly exciting and you think are something that a lot of organizations need to get ahead of?
It's one word that comes to mind is AI. Absolutely. You can ignore it, and you have to figure out how to implement it in the industry if you haven't. We've been implementing AI since, let me see, probably 2021, even before ChatGPT sort of came around. We started building some of the automations internally. And now we have an entire proprietary system that uses AI for some of the marketing techniques, some of the marketing production activities that we do for our clients. I think everything will change with AI. We don't know exactly how. It's too early to speculate on, you know, on that. But one thing is certain, user behavior will change with AI for sure. With the addition of, with the emergence of, Perplexity and, chat, Surge GPT and various other, AI, tools. And then the way how we do work will also change. So as organizations, I think, especially us in marketing, we understand that we have to be in the forefront of this. We have to implement AI as quickly as possible and help our clients implement AI in their work as well, so they can be more efficient as business. They can become more efficient as businesses.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting and a little bit scary all at the same time. I think one of the stats I read recently is that traditional search is declining year over year, whereas searches that begin with AI are on the increase. And I think a lot of organizations, if they're not figuring out how to get ahead of AI search, whether it's Gemini or Grok or Perplexity or ChatGPT or whatever it is, figuring out how to show up when people are searching on these platforms, I think they're going to get left behind.
And we already see that, Michael. We actually we measure the impact of AI on our clients, and so far it's still pretty minimal. It's like single digits percentage wise, traffic wise, and lead wise that we see. But you do write about the fact that there's going to be less and less searches on search engines like Google or Bing.
Yeah, and I think it's it's interesting and also a little bit crazy, because it's absolutely growing, at a very, very quick rate. And I think a lot of organizations, at the point where they start to take note of this, it might be too late. But, one of the tools we use internally is Ahrefs. I'm sure a lot of organizations do.
Yep.
They have quite a volume of data, to say the least.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I read somewhere that they're only second to Google in terms of the amount of crawling that they do on the internet. So, but one of the things that I noted recently in Ahrefs is that they now track AI search results, and that is something that not many organizations have the bandwidth or volume to track, but they're doing it. The other thing that's kind of interesting, I mean, it's, if you think about it, Google is by and far the leader in terms of paid search, but there's a lot of other competitors creeping into that space over the last few years, but when you look at it, they're not the clear leader in AI search. And all of these different search engines are fighting for market share at this point, and they're not even focused on charging for search results. So for that reason, I think it's an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, they're trying to acquire the market at the fastest rate possible, because they know Google's model was very similar to it too. They acquired a lot of the market, a lot of the users, and only then they started to promote their paid search, and they started to basically increase the space that it takes for paid sponsored spots. And now it's like the first the first screen that you see when you Google something, paid spots. Only paid. It wasn't like that when they just started out. But with AI, I think that they probably have the same ideas, very similar methodology. They'll probably acquire as many users as they can, and then they'll start introducing various model to monetize.
Yeah, and I think the only one that I've seen even experimenting or testing with any kind of ideas around monetization is Perplexity so far. But yeah, obviously we'll start to see some of this in the year to come.
So, I think we'll see different models. I don't think they quite figured that out yet, but it'll happen.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. So it's really interesting. But I really appreciate the deep dive. Obviously, it sounds like a lot of exciting things going on over there at Comrade Digital. Any other actionable tips for some of the individuals listening to this episode that have stuck with us this far in our conversation that you think will help them as they're, charting their course over 2025?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a couple more ideas, but I'll just stick to one because we're sort of short on time and want to respect the time. I think not having the proper USP, unique selling proposition, is what we see in a lot of companies. At this point, it's like, I do this service. I don't know how I'm different from others. Well, you still need to define what's your point of view, what's your differentiation factor. Because if you don't, then you're truly not a specialist. You're just a provider. And if you're a provider, you can't charge the premium dollars, right? And even if we market you, then the marketing is going to be very similar to many other marketing companies. But if you have a unique twist, if let's say you're the best in the market because you provide the biggest warranty, or because you provide a money back guarantee, or whatever else might be that different, separates you from the rest of the pack, then it's a lot easier for you to stand out. That's something that, when we come to our clients and we ask them, like, what is your USP? They're often like, huh, USP? Well, we're just good. That's not enough.
I guess that's not enough. You need to find that, and then we'll have another meeting.
You need to be great. Yeah. Figure out what it means to be great. So that's one other item.
I love it. I love it. Well, for anyone that's listening, we're going to leave a link in the show notes for anybody that would like to reach out. Once again, Ivan Vislavsky over at Comrade Digital, thank you for the deep dive and joining us on the Consulting Spotlight this week. For anybody that's tuning in for the first time, we also have two other podcasts, the Career Spotlight and Software Spotlight, both on Apple and Spotify. And you can also sign up for our weekly newsletter at softwareoasis.com/subscribe to keep in the know on everything going on over here at Software Oasis. So once again, Ivan, thanks for joining us on the podcast this week.
Michael, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for tuning in to the Software Oasis Podcast Network. With more than 200,000 listeners each month, you're invited to join our engaged community of B2B founders and executives at our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. Reserve your comp pass today. Get ahead with real AI strategies. Join the first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to claim your spot today.